Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. If you're Android, no more Google Podcasts. Check us out on Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel, Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server, 24 hours a day. That's right. We're open all night. You can talk Heat away from Twitter, $2.99 per month. Link is right here in the description of the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel, as well as pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Includes our friends over at Big Brother Ironwork. They specialize in all metal work, such as aluminum fences, gates, pergolas, railings, and more. They got more than 20 years of experience, established experts in the field. They are big Miami Heat fans, of course. That's probably the most important thing here. But, well, maybe it's more important that they're licensed and insured. So check them out. Abraham, you can call them at 786-406-5780. Again, Abraham at 786-406-5780. Or just check out the website. All the information is there. They service Dade, Broward, the Keys, and more. BigBrotherIronwork.com. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Playoffs. We have playoffs. We were starting not to expect playoffs. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. Got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I actually ate Papa John's last night at the arena in case it was the Last Supper. These guys still would not eat in the media room. So I just want to get that out of the way from the very beginning. The Miami Heat, they're in Boston. They're flying there as we speak to play the Boston Celtics for the fourth time in five postseasons. Of course, the Heat have won two of the last three. Of course, in those two victories, they had Jimmy Butler. This time, they do not. They also do not have Terry Rozier. He's still week to week. Said yesterday on Discord, looking maybe like a game three, and that's about what a week is. The good thing about the playoffs is they spread these things out. So we're going to milk this over the next 2 weeks or 1.5 weeks or however long it takes. And obviously, they're going to try to get Rozier healthy with that neck injury, but so far, he's not available. Duncan Robinson did play last night. So I think you can anticipate that they'll probably ramp up his minutes a little bit here in this series. And I think you can also anticipate, and Caleb Martin pretty much said this last night after the game, I was in the locker room, probably see the same starting lineup that you saw in this past game. So what we're going to do here, we got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. Alex Toledo, you can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We're going to try to find a way that this can be competitive. Let's just start from the very beginning on this, okay? Because I think we should state our positions. Does anybody think they're winning this series? Alex's mic doesn't work, but I don't know if that's why he's mute right now. You're just shaking your head?
I'm shaking my head for multiple reasons.
Okay, well, there you go.
They're not winning the series.
Brady, are they winning this series?
I'm not going to sit here and lie like I haven't talked myself into it weirdly at random moments. Like, let's just be – I feel like everybody has, like, randomly talked themselves into it at certain pockets. Like, if this happens, but, like, you have to have a lot of things break right, and I think that's kind of what we're going to talk about here.
All right. I don't think they're winning the series either. I don't know if they would have won the series if they were totally healthy at this point. And we talked about that over the course of the season, that I thought – some thought getting Boston earlier was better. I thought getting them later was better because then you would have assumed that the Heat would have developed some rhythm that we hadn't seen the entire year by the time they got to the Celtics. At this point, you've got a rested Celtics team. You got a Miami team that is coming in completely wrecked. I mean, they don't have Jimmy. They don't have Rozier. Duncan is still not 100%, even though I mentioned that he's playing. And so you're talking about maybe three of your four or five best offensive players are just not available to you or not in the shape that you want them to be in. And you're going against a team that was, and again, I think we all despise many things about the Celtics and their fan base. They were, as even Tyler Hero said yesterday, historically good this year in terms of their offensive proficiency and just in terms of the way they dominated a conference. I mean, it's a weak conference. A lot of these teams that won in the high 40s and then the Knicks getting 50 wins, they beat up on the garbage at the bottom end of the conference. But still, Boston lapped the field. You got to give them credit for that. They're much better than they were last year. Thank you, Joe Cronin, who decided to send Drew Holiday to them, which was the thing that pissed the Heat off the most about that whole offseason process, because they would have liked to have gotten it on Drew or certainly not have him go to Boston. And then the Porzingis trade for Smart has obviously worked out to this point. We'll see if it does in the playoffs, because Smart was a core rotation player for them in the postseason, and Porzingis tends to get hurt. But Porzingis was kind of a cheat code against the Heat this year, and they were 3-0 against Miami, even when Miami was healthier. So all of that being said, things are against them. I'm going to say one thing, though, okay, and then we're going to get into just strategy with you guys, is that there is this Ewing theory concept, okay, and was actually created by, of all people, Celtics super fan Bill Simmons, where a guy goes out. This goes back to the 1999 playoffs, where the Knicks were actually the 8th seed, but Patrick Ewing was never their franchise player, was never really healthy at that point. And they had put a team together on the fly that hadn't really worked in the regular season. It was a 50-game season. It was shortened because of a lockout. They actually only finished 6 games behind the Heat, but they were the 8 seed, and the Heat was the 1 seed. And without Ewing, once they figured out they weren't going to have him, which sometimes makes it easier, they created a new game around Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell, and Marcus Camby primarily. They beat the Heat, and they went all the way to the finals. So this kind of thing can happen. And there was actually a Heat executive that I talked to a week ago before he knew that Jimmy was going to get tackled by Kelly Oubre. And he said that the big problem for them this year was not that guys were out. It was that they were out and coming back in, that they could never develop any continuity because it was two in, two out, two in, two out, and all of that. And sometimes it's better to just know someone is out. So at the very least, the Heat have clarity. They're huge underdogs, 14.5-point underdogs on Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN to get $20 to play. They're 14.5-point underdogs. They are the biggest long shot of all the playoff teams going into the postseason. They know what they have, and they know what they don't. And maybe there's something positive to that. But let's go to this, Alex. If they're at a win, what is the one matchup that they need to exploit the most?
Oh, man. I'm going to go into my signature. That's a tough question as I stall for time. But I guess to me, it just like there's a lot of space for creativity, I think, with the way that Spo can go about the matchups in this series. And we saw last night being the perfect example, and it was being asked about post game, and everybody saw it to start the game. Bam was matched up on DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Jovic on Vucevic. And that's something that they're able to do. And we've seen different versions of that, but with Bam guarding bigger players like Giannis and Zion while Jovic covers a Brook Lopez or a Valanciunas, this is obviously a different thing. And I think we're all like aware that Bam is capable of doing that. So if he starts off with that type of game plan, then I think whoever Bam's guarding is that matchup, because I think it's like, and that's pretty tantalizing to think about too, because it's like you can theoretically throw maybe Caleb on Jaylen Brown, Bam on Tatum,
We just lost Alex for a bit, though. But I get where he's going. On the Bam matchup here, for sure. I mean, I think the biggest matchup they can exploit is the guy who'd be setting up these matchups, which is the coach. But again, as we kind of narrow down on it, it is kind of using Bam as the chess piece here defensively. But Brady, if we're to assume that you're looking at a starting lineup again of Caleb, Hero, Jaquez, Jovic, and Bam, where do you, I mean, do you play fast again? We saw them play fast against Chicago. Like, that was the strategy. Just, we talk about they're a terrible transition team, and it's like, okay, but play fast.
Yeah.
Is that a way to attack this?
I think so. I was talking to Jaime and Bam and a couple of guys about the way they leaned into that. And it's like, you have a team full of guys in their low 20s, and you have guys that like to play fast, that it's almost like Spo's like, okay, just see what happens. Just make it. If you're the whole goal here in this series and in every game here is to make it as ugly as possible, just make it disgusting basketball. Just try to just make it a defensive game and just make it like a horrible watch. But with that said, when you're trying to turn them over and make things ugly, you have to play fast. And as Jaime was talking about when I asked about it, he was like, you want to try, you don't want to go up against that set defense as often as possible. You still, even if you're the way they are in transition, you have to try and take advantage of it. You just have to. That's the only way you're going to have a chance of like putting runs together. Because as we've seen, they had a big first quarter against Chicago. Second quarter comes around and there's a bit of a drought. Like, they can't have those droughts. You have to find pockets of the game to do that. But I think that the matchups question, I think the one that pops out to me is Jaime. And it's crazy to say because he's the rookie and the fact that he's kind of your mismatch guy. But I talked about it with Alex at the game. Like, I've been saying it all season. Jaime does not – the one comparison to Jimmy that is not all the way there is Jimmy looks for mismatches. He looks for advantages. He looks for somebody that he's like, okay, I can attack that guy. I can put that guy on my back, and I could go at him in the mid post. Jaime doesn't do that. Jaime just goes at whoever is in front of him. He does not care if it's a big man, if it's a guard, if it's a wing. He's going to just go at you. That it feels like in a seven-game series when there's schematics and there's counters and everything being put back together, they have to come into this game and say, Jaime, you have to go and attack this guy here and go after this spot and do this. And you can't just keep going, I think, all around. So it's like, that's the one spot and matchup that I'm kind of looking for. And there's, look, in that starting lineup, there's not a lot of things that you can attack. Like, you have obviously bigger wings. You have Porzingis out there. You have kind of two guards that are tough defensive guards. So it's not like you can just go find Drew and post them up. But there are certain ones off the bench. There are certain matchups they can go at that Jimmy has always done. That I think that's going to be an interesting one. I think if they could find ways to, and the other thing here is they have so many pick and roll guys. They have pull-up guys on this team that Jaime's the one guy that gives them a different element. Like, it's like, okay, you could put him here with his back to the basket and at least gives them a different look. So I think that matchup's going to be important. But I mean, we can't, Ethan, I think we're going to get back to the main thing here. We can't look away from Tyler. Like Tyler, he's averaging 24 a game against Boston this year across three games. He's had big games. He attacks the drop. He's hit pull-ups. Now the question becomes, he's not just the other guy. He's not just the other guy next to Jimmy. Now they're scheming against him in this playoff series, saying, Tyler, we are not letting Tyler go off against us. They're going to find so many ways to try and push him out that it's just it comes down to the way that Spo and Tyler treat that counter.
I'm with you on Tyler. Obviously, the ball's going to be in his hands a ton. He has played well against Boston at times, and so I think that's promising. I liked the way that he started to read the game as it went on in the last game, and obviously he has a fearlessness about him. I know some people don't like it, but he's going to keep taking those shots, and in a playoff series like this where you have nothing to lose, you kind of want that. I actually think that the piece is Jovic, and I think so because – yes, I understand with Jaquez that, a lot of the Jimmy stuff that they're going to run, I just feel like we're all pointing to Jaquez. Like, I pointed to him last night, and that proved to be pretty much true. He was the guy who really got them going at the beginning. But I don't know. I just think there's just so much more there with Nico right now that they haven't really gotten to. And if you're talking about a series where you have nothing to lose – like, why not put the ball in that kid's hands? Like, because I don't know. And again, we're mentioning it here on the podcast. I don't think Joe Mazzulla is listening. I don't think they're going to be looking for that. And I don't.
There's not a lot of film on him, Ethan. Like, there's not a lot of film they can find. So it's like the one wrinkle that nobody really knows.
Yeah, and that's my thing is that we saw some of it in the World Cup, right? We saw some of it in Summer League, but then it was like, all right, he did this great job kind of learning how to be a positional defender and what he did filling it at the four spot. But I don't know. I just feel like that's one of those things that they can unlock here. I think the other thing, and we will post it. I don't know, maybe on the back end of this podcast, or maybe we'll do it on another one that I'm going to post before tomorrow. I had a conversation with DeLon Wright after the game last night about his struggle. And actually, I don't think he's really talked about this to many people, but he had the 7 straight DNPs. He knew how many. He said, he's like, yeah, when I had the 7 straight DNPs, and he said, I wasn't in shape. He says, you know, the whole idea, because I reminded him about the you know, the top of the zone stuff we talked about when he was on the podcast, and him and Haywood was right next to him once Jovic left Haywood's locker, which Haywood was not really understanding why Jovic was doing his availability in front of his locker. And he said, yeah, I love the idea of that. And then I did it. And then I realized I wasn't in shape. And it took him this time to get in shape. And, you know, we talked about, obviously, you know, Terry coming back and Patty coming in. But I think he's a key too. I really do. Like I they're going to deploy him all over the place. And he said this is really the only time in his career, other than when he played with Luka, that he's had to just be catch and shoot. That, you know, the ball's not in his hands very much, and he's getting comfortable with some of those spots on the floor. And we've seen his growth into this role here over the past couple of weeks. So those are two of my dark horses, Jovic and Wright. All right, when we come back, we're going to let Alex jump back in here. And I want to get to some specifics about Spoelstra here, because I do think that the biggest mismatch in this series is two things. I'll get into it with Alex in a second. We do want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Mother's Day is coming up. We got a great gift idea for you. Check out Shop. Again, it's shoptubculture.com. Actually, I think you can find it with just tubculture.com. If you go there, you will find everything, okay, from the bath bombs to the soaps. It's all there. They've got all kinds of unique stuff. This isn't like Bath and Body Works. This is handmade. These are South Floridians. They're big Heat fans, friends of the program, listeners to the program. Check it out. Again, it's tubculture.com or shoptubculture.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E, and you'll get 10% off your order of 20 or more. They'll ship it to you. You'll get it quickly. But again, if you're looking to give your mom something special for Mother's Day, this is a great gift idea. And we're giving you plenty of time here. Got a couple of weeks. So check it out. ShopTubCulture.com. Use the code FIVE.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so Alex, Boston's even the Boston metro market has given Mazzulla a lot of praise this year, and I mean, how could you not? I mean, he integrated these pieces, but he kind of cracked in the playoffs against the Heat last season, and his team cracks in fourth quarters at times. They've given up a ton of big leads. I know Windhorse has talked about that, 20-point leads at times. They lost to teams that did not have all their players. Seems like they let down. There was that game against the Lakers that they didn't have AD or LeBron, and Boston lost to them. So, I mean, that can be a coaching thing at times. Where do you think Spoelstra can exploit Mazzulla?
Honestly, I think the thing for Spo is how do you figure out as many ways to throw off a team as you can, right? Because this is obviously a completely different team, and you kind of, you know, hinted at it there with the Ewing theory. The whole thing is like you're kind of shaping the way that the team runs. You're shaping the outline of their offense. You're changing things, right? And it's completely different from the identity of the team that has been playing all season. And I think that's where there can be some underlying upside, where like things that maybe Mazzulla can't scout for. But then when I start to think about it, it's like he did throw a lot of those things last night versus Chicago, right? With, you know, what I mentioned before with Jovic guarding Vucevic, Bam on DeRozan being an example of that. I think you can throw out a lot of different coverages like he has in the past, but I do think we know what he likes to do more often than not when it comes to certain guys and what ball screen coverages they go to, and then certain lineups with the bench units. You know, more often than not, they're going to be in the zone. The zone is, of course, going to be a huge part of this. So I'm interested to see like how much Spo strays from what we've seen, right? Specifically last night, because like you can do, I think when you think about like guarding Tatum and Brown, I think showing them different looks and not getting them used to the same look over and over is probably going to be a way that you go about it. I'm a little bit scared about their defensive game plan when I think about it, right? Because it's like you can't exactly help off of a Marcus Smart or a Grant Williams or a Robert Williams. Like, they've got Porzingis out there, and I guess like their worst spacer and their starting five now is Jrue Holiday. So it's a little bit tough if you're going to be helping off of him the whole time. So I think they're going to be – it's going to be interesting to see how much they, you know, help, right? How quick they are to help, whether they send a later help or an earlier help. I think you got to be kind of disciplined with that against the Celtics, because they can move the ball, they can shoot, they can all space the floor. Like Porzingis just adds that layer, right? And you can't switch everything like you used to as well, because Porzingis can kind of just shoot right over the top of anybody that you switch onto him that's really small. So I think they're going to have to be really disciplined in this one, but I don't know how you do that while also throwing a bunch of different coverages, right? Like I think he's going to have to find a base, and I'm not sure what the base is. I think right now he's probably going to be experimenting with different things and seeing what sticks, and then maybe figuring out like, okay, these are going to be the main looks we show for a Tatum ball screen, or a, you know, Jaylen Brown, shade him left, all that stuff. I think, you know, there is no margin for error. You know, it comes down to that. There is no margin for error. They're going to have to play a super low turnover game. And that's also hard to do when we're talking about like passing the ball and playing with pace, right? Like that becomes harder to do, stay as a low turnover team. So what I'm saying is they got to throw out a lot.
Well, here's my overall thought on it, okay, Brady, as we look at the macro of it. I think you usually look at a series and when you enter it and you're like, okay, we're talking about trying to win 4 out of 7, all right? So we don't throw everything out in game one, all right? We're holding certain things back. It's probably going to be a long series, and I think even if the Heat were entering as an 8 seed, I think if they had Jimmy and Rozier, they would be of the mindset, this is going to be a long series. Like we're, you know, we have enough, so to speak, trademark, that we can get it there. And so we're not going to put everything out. I think it's different now. I think this is you throw the kitchen sink out until you get a win. Mm-hmm. I think you treat every game like it's a play-in game. Like you just throw it out. You try this, you try that, you try this, you do zone. And this is where Spo is at his best. You do the mad scientist things, kind of what we're getting at here. And until you get one, right, And then, okay, if you can get one, if Boston does what they've done at times down the stretch of games, if they take you somewhat lightly, if they start making some mistakes, if there's foul trouble, if there's a Porzingis injury, if there's any of that kind of stuff, you got your one. Okay, maybe you get a little closer to Terry coming back. Then if he can come back, because I think he would have been major in this series, if he can come back and he's full strength somehow, then you've got this whole other element that you've added in that Boston needs to adjust to. I think game one's a kitchen sink game. I don't think you hold anything back. I think you do exactly what you – I'm not exactly because you do different things, but you approach it the same way that you approach the Chicago game.
This is the roster for that too. I mean, it's a bunch of defensive psychos and a bunch of young guys. So it's like you could just be just throw a bunch of stuff out there. And look, we're now at the point where Jaime and Jovic were talking about in a Boston Celtics series are like your X factors and main guys. So it's like you have to move pieces around anyway daily and get in by game by game. That at this point, it's like if you start to adjust a ton, like it's nothing they're not used to. So I agree. I think there's going to be a part where they start to mix specifically with what Alex was talking about. They're going to have to mix so much defensively, and that's kind of the kitchen sink part. He's like, you know what they do. Like they'll be like, oh, okay, randomly in a game three, they throw out this variation of the press and zone, and they try to throw off a team. I agree. I think they have to do it in Boston. They have to throw everything out there in Boston to try and get one. I think specifically with the real schematics like zone, I'm not a big fan of against this team. I think if they do it, it has to be against the Porzingis-less lineups. Like, I would not be doing a lot of zone against Porzingis. The man stuff, I think they could be creative with. I think now, because what we just saw with Bama DeRozan, I know this is kind of against what we're all talking about. I think that's a little bit of a smokescreen, even. I think that was like a thing where it's like, okay, this is the way they're going to treat it now in Boston. I think there's a good chance we see the first game in Boston out the gate, like immediately, is Bama and Porzingis. And they're like, and now everybody thinks they're going this opposite direction and they're game planning for it. And they're going to come out right out the gate and throw Bama and Porzingis and just match up straight up. And then that'll be the adjustment later in the second half maybe. And they go from there. So to your point, that's what I think they're going to have to do. But let me just throw two other names at you because I know we've been bouncing around some names. And there's two guys that I think could be the X factors in this series. Because Jaime's like kind of a main guy here. Like, I just felt like he could be a mismatch exploiter. Like, he's not an X factor to me at this point. Haywood Highsmith's number one. Like, that's a guy that's playing 36 to 40 minutes in this series a game. Like, they need that guy out there. They need him guarding Jason Tatum. They need him guarding a bunch of their wings. And Spo is, once he's on the floor, Spo's not taking him out. Spo is not taking him out against this team. He just fits too well of what they need, and they want to make it ugly. And the second guy is Kevin Love. I think he's the guy, the most important player in the series. I just look at what they need to do offensively. I don't have a lot of trust in them scoring consistently. I just don't. It really comes down to them hitting pull-ups consistently, and I just don't think there's going to be too many pockets where that doesn't happen. Love can change what they do in the half court. He can change the high-low stuff. He can change the spacing. He can bring Porzingis out to the three-point line. He could set up all those type of actions. He's been glued to so many Jimmy lineups that we have not seen a lot of Tyler Hero, Kevin Love. Like, we don't have a crazy amount of film and minutes logged with that. I thought it was really interesting in this last Chicago game, like that pick and pop pairing, because they're going to game plan so hard to cut off that Tyler Hero pull up. And they did it in previous games already in this season, that Kevin Love pop is going to be there. He's going to have the ability to get open pull up. I mean, spot up threes off that pop, that it's going to be important. And as much as we're talking about the young guys playing into the speed of the game, that guy, Kevin Love, is going to get the ball out on the break. Like, he's somebody that can kind of change a momentum. He could kind of get you going in that way, but that outlet pass that we've talked about. So I just think those are two guys, and obviously they're coming off the bench, that are going to be crucial. And the other part about the Kevin Love thing, I think we're going to see a lot of Kevin Love Bam lineups. Like, I know he's the backup five here, but that's the big change up here. It's like, yeah, Nico can size up and he can guard some Porzingis, but I think you're going to see a lot of Kevin Love in this series where they're trying to size up in that way, and that's when they can adjust to the Bam on Tatum stuff or the Bam on Brown stuff. So I think Kevin Love can unlock a lot of things in the series.
Well, that 3 week rest that Kevin Love got, which as he was rehabbing, has served him well because he's been tremendous. He had 16-5 in his first 11 minutes in the play-in game. And I was going to say that I do think it's funny. We talk about the Heat not having much size and they're going against a big team here, but they're going to play with more size than they typically do. I do think that as much as we say Haywood's going to play a lot of minutes, it's going to be at the three. I can see a lot of these Jovic minutes with Bam, Jovic minutes, maybe even some with Love, and certainly some with Love, and with Bam, and it's and you mentioned this too. You mentioned Highsmith. It's just a funny scene yesterday, which just tells you what he's about. Other than him being upset that Jovic was big timing and took his locker to do his media, Ira was talking to Highsmith on his way out of pregame. It's called him big time now, and he says, "Nah, I'm just a regular guy. I just get more minutes." He is kind of like the silent assassin for them defensively, and they're going to utilize him in a ton of different ways. All right, I'll let you close on this, Alex. The late game stuff.
Oh God.
I mean, let's say they get it there. Then what? I mean, does Tyler just assume the Jimmy role? And okay, any shot that Tyler takes, we're going to live with. Or is there some other way that they can go here?
Well, first of all, I guess it also depends what lineups the Celtics are throwing out there. Mm-hmm. If right, because you guys mentioned there the Kevin Love and Bam lineups. So that's like immediately one thing that comes to mind when you're thinking about, like, you know, adding to the theme of different looks that you can throw out at them. You know, whether you're talking about lineups, whether you're talking about strategy. That's something that last year, if I remember correctly, in the conference finals, the Kevin Love minutes went down as the series went on. So I'm with you guys that I would like to see that thrown in here and there, but I'm going to be monitoring it because to see if Spo goes away from what's been working so well. You know, Kevin Love is the five with the spaced out floor with the bench units. No Jimmy, but like Brady mentioned, Tyler there with K Love. That's something there that, like, you know, like you mentioned, there's not a lot of film on that. And you know, when they're inevitably jamming the Tyler Bam pick and roll, which they're going to be most likely most of the time, trying to take away Tyler's pull up, trying to take away the pocket pass to Bam for the open mid range. I don't think those shots are going to be available to them too often throughout this series. That takes away, like, the you know, the most obvious action that comes to mind with the lineup that they have right now, right? The Tyler Bam two man game. If that is going to be taken away, what immediately goes next in my head is Jaime. And it's like what Brady was talking about before, just him attacking relentlessly, I think is going to be a theme throughout this series. And I'm going to be interested to see how much, you know, they split the usage up a little bit, you know, like in down the stretch of a fourth quarter in a Heat Celtics game. Like, I wonder how much of it will be, you know, maybe we start off with a Tyler Bam pick and roll, eventually the ball, you know, goes out to the second side and Jaime attacks, you know, finds an angle. Like, I think we could see a lot of that, but I do think the ball movement needs to be crisp. And just going back to what I was talking about earlier with the low turnover game, like, there is, again, no margin for error. You can't be making mistakes. I think they need to move the ball. And, you know, like what you guys were talking about earlier with Jovic, I think there's things you can throw there because there just hasn't been that much of him this season, like running pick and roll and kind of just doing things that are outside of the norm for him, where like throughout most of the season when he started with Jimmy, specifically with Jimmy, he kind of turns into more of a play finisher who does some connective things along the way. Whereas I think now his role is probably going to feature more ball handling, a little bit more initiating, you know, a little bit of pick and roll every now and then, maybe initiating handoffs. Like I think you could do some different stuff with Jovic to kind of throw the Celtics off. I don't think he's going to be closing. I don't know that Kevin Love is going to be closing next to him, next to Bam. So then I just think about, you know, Jaime, Haywood, Tyler, Bam, and Caleb. Is that going to be the closing unit?
I think
unit?
So. I think he'll lean defense. And then I think then what becomes the question is, are they going to make the open threes if they come? And what is the spacing going to look like with that lineup? Because we saw some spacing yesterday. They got away with it. God, the Bulls are bad.
They're going to back they off got away hard, with, they, like off of those three oh, other guys oh, yeah. real hard.
Oh, yeah, they are. And, you know, look, you know, this is the one thing. We haven't talked about him at all until you just mentioned him. I asked Caleb yesterday. I said, "You think you're on the scouting report now?" And he smiled and he said, "Yeah." I mean, if you look, they're afraid of Caleb Martin up there. I think Heat fans are afraid of Caleb Martin too, with some of the inconsistency this season. But they're afraid of Caleb Martin. Like, if you got Eastern Conference Finals Caleb Martin, then this is a different conversation we're having here. He was arguably their best player of that series last year. So I don't know. And look, this is a huge opportunity for him. I mean, I'll just say this, okay? I think when you look at, and if Greg and I do another podcast, we might dig into this more specifically. But I think if you look at who has something to gain in this series and who has something to lose, I don't think Jovic and Hawkins have anything to lose. I don't think this colors their future in any way. No one is expecting them to be lead guys right now. I think it's interesting to see how the two of them play off of each other, if they're going to be core pieces, and how they play off of Tyler, in case he's going to be a piece. I think the guys who have something at stake in this series are Bam, Tyler, Caleb. Those are the three who have something at stake. I think Highsmith has made his case already for why he should stay. But I think Bam is not going anywhere. But I think Bam, Hero, and Caleb with the contract situation, those are the three guys who I think have the most they have the most to gain or lose in this in this series.
I'm with you there. And I think something that could kind of factor into this conversation as well with Caleb is DeLon, who we haven't even really mentioned here much, who was, by the way, awesome last night and has continued to show stuff pretty much every time he's played. For the Heat, in my opinion, I think he's one of those guys where, like, we saw Caleb didn't close the other night versus Philadelphia. Like, let's say DeLon is having a particularly great game. We haven't seen him close much either, so I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just, like, kind of thinking through different scenarios. If he's having a better shooting game, which Caleb hasn't been as consistent a shooter as the past couple of seasons, his first couple of seasons with the Heat, I think DeLon, his defensive impact, is kind of right there under Haywood. Like, them together has just been menacing, man. A lot of times it's been in the zone, so it will be a little bit different if they're doing some man stuff. But, of course, I'm going to trust those guys in man all day. Like, that's – you might not have much spacing, but at that point you're leaning into the defense and hoping that you can get enough offensive shot creation out of Tyler, Jaime, and Bam. And I think you just lean into, your identity at this point.
The more we talk about
this – about Duncan.
It was a big
I don't know if we can. I don't think we want to get our hopes up about Duncan at this point.
I just want to say, though, the more we talk about this, because I'm glad you brought up, like, the late game stuff, because, like, that's my issue here. My issue isn't the fact that it's not good. Like, can they get it to a tie game with 2 minutes left? It's what they're going to do when it is a tie game with 2 minutes left against this team.
Right.
In a close game in a playoff series against this team, that's the part that I struggle with of them getting over the top.
Here's the part, Brady, that's the scariest of that. Are they going to get the calls too?
No, I mean, look, who's drawing the fouls?
The answer is no. Right. I mean,
which guy's getting to the line other than Bam, maybe?
Well, Kevin Love apparently can still get to the line 10 times, but they are going to struggle to get to 10 free throws. I think that is going to be a real problem without Jimmy. That is going to require Hawkins has been leaning into some of those calls lately. So I think Bam has got to be aggressive. If that's the case, we've talked very little about Bam here other than the defensive end, but on the offensive end, he has to make them work. He's got to make Porzingis move his feet. If Porzingis is going to be on him, he's got to get to the line.
Screening and spacing and being out of the play.
I don't care about the 3-point shooting in this series with him. I do not care about it. He's got to be aggressive and attacking. And Tyler has been getting to the line a little bit more often since he came back, but I'm not counting on that. Again, you're going into Boston with that crowd. We know the NBA's history with this kind of stuff. You were already compromised in that scenario with Jimmy. And now, who wasn't getting calls in this latter third of the season. And now you're going up there without him. You've got Jason Tatum, who's still the 19-year-old wonder boy. That is what worries me here a little bit for them. I think what we may be looking at is they do keep it close, at least one of those two games in Boston. But they have a deflating loss that Heat fans are complaining about. And then, they're coming back.
They should have got 2-0. That one. And we're saying they should have been their one.
And the reality is, honestly, with everything against them right now, they shouldn't get any of these. And so that is kind of where I'm at, where it's like, this is all gravy. It's not – the season is not. The season has to be discussed as a whole, how they were in the position to even play a play-in game that Jimmy got hurt in. We will get into all of that. But right now, where they're at, this is the biggest underdog in Heat history, probably – in a playoff series, other than, I guess, when they went up against Chicago pre-Riley, when Jordan was there. I was going through it. Like, I was I was asking, Dave Hyde was asking me after the game, he's like, what was the biggest upset in playoff history for the Heat? And I'm like, well, they really haven't had one. It was last year, I guess, against Milwaukee. But other than that, yeah, I mean, they weren't huge. Yeah, they were underdogs, but they were mild underdogs. I mean, they were in the first, and there was such strange circumstances, but they were like one of the three best teams in the East prior to a collapse, prior to COVID. And you look at, they were one seed another year. You go back Dwayne's years. Okay, they were lost in the first round both years that he carried, you know, 2009, 2010. But they lost in the first round. Like, they weren't huge underdogs. They were, you know, they were I think, a 4 and a 5 seed those 2 years, if I recall correctly.
But they played Boston in 2010. That might have been comparable.
Yeah, but they weren't. But Boston wasn't a 1, and the Heat weren't an 8. Like, that, this is not, to me, like, and they didn't win the series. He was asking, like, what's their biggest win as an underdog? I'm like, all right, well, 2004, Dwayne's rookie year, they beat New Orleans. They were actually the home team. They were 42-40, but they were a 4 seed. And you look at, and the problem with the Heat in the Zoe years was they were always the favorite, with the exception of a series against Chicago, and they just kept losing. They lost to the Knicks 3 times as a favorite. So they really haven't been in this position. Yes, last year's run was unpredictable and surprising and all the rest of this. This is by far the biggest underdog they've been in a playoff series. And, you know, like I said, other than when, I think, pre-Riley, when they got up against Jordan once and he literally played golf the whole series and they swept them. So that's where we're at. You got to go all the way back to prior to Riley, and probably they were even bigger underdogs now. So we'll see what happens. May have another episode. We mentioned Lon Wright here a couple of times. We're going to release that some point, maybe not on this podcast, but we'll get it out here on the podcast feed by tomorrow. He was really, once we found the locker he could actually speak in front of, because he kept getting moved around, he was actually very candid last night about his situation. Like Alex said, he could be a big key in this series. All right, thanks to our sponsors, tubculture.com, bigbrotherironwork.com. We always mention Better Edge, use the code 5RSN there, and Prize Picks, use the code 5FIVE. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.